Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, and YouTube Live. Had a great show on 97.3 The Fan. We're continuing here with you live on the stream. As we always say, Let's Talk Hookup app, that is the way to listen to Let's Talk Hookup. And we're having a great time here talking with you this morning, having a lot of fun with Captain Ryan Boschian of the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing. If you want to join us, the only way to do that for this second hour is through the Let's Talk Hookup app, and send us a text message question. Man, we have so many great texts coming through because we were on the fan for the first hour. We were heavy on the phone calls, but Ben, if you, you've been sending a text, don't worry. We've got another full hour coming your way of Let's Talk Hookup. And we want to remind you, the second hour brought to us by Dana Landing on Mission Bay. It's your one-stop shop for everything you need to go fishing. Today is the day, the Dana Landing annual summer kickoff sale. Everything is on sale, up to 50% off. There's going to be manufacturers reps showing off products and teaching you the better ways to use them. They have free food. They have kayak demos at Fastlane, a big sale on Fastlane kayaks, and a whole lot more. It's the summer kickoff sale at Dana Landing Mission Bay today only. You can check danalanding.com for more details, or better yet, just get in the car and head down there, man. It's going to be a very fun day at Dana Landing. And again, if you want to join us this morning, send us a text through the Let's Talk Hookup app. When you do, make sure that you include your name and phone number in case you win today's big prize, which is a full-day trip going fishing with Captain Ryan on the San Diego, a full-day trip for one lucky caller or texter at the end of the show today. Hey, we've had a little issue with the hotline, but we're going to give it a try again. We got the man, our private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish, a Pacific Edge, is standing by. Good morning, Mark. Well, it looks like we don't have them, unfortunately, guys. A little technical issue with the hotline, but hopefully we'll get that figured out before the show's end and we can get Mark's report. But as always, it is sponsored in part by Norris Lithium Batteries. Power your boat with Norris Lithium, the ultimate choice for marine adventures. Norris Lithium offers unmatched starting, trolling, and electronics power. Norris batteries are packed with cutting-edge technology. You can upgrade your marine power today. Set up your system at Norris Lithium or check norrislithium.com and talk to the trolling motor. We're going to jump into the text. They are packed up. Everybody's excited to ask questions to Captain Ryan. Look, the first one is, hey, guys, my question is for Captain Ryan. When conditions aren't right at the Coronado Islands, but you guys are in yellowtail mode, does the San Diego ever focus on fishing tight to the coast? If so, how far down along the coast does the boat travel? That's from Garrett in Laguna Niguel.
That's a good question, Garrett. Thank you. We have spent a lot of time in on the coast. I'm assuming he's referring to east of the islands, like from Tijuana down to Punta Descanso. We've spent a good amount of time in there. Unfortunately, it never really seems like the big yellowtail hits come from in there on the coast. We have had some good yellowtail fishing when they're related to, like, bait balls, like bird school fishing in on the beach, for sure. That's been a thing. But tight to the coast, like Garrett's talking about, there's a few spots in there that are really fun bass fishing, calico and sand bass, some halibut. So we've spent time in there. We don't do it that often, mainly because if conditions are bad at the islands, they're probably bad in there as well. And the chances of getting a big yellowtail hit, which is what it seems to take nowadays, are less in there, okay, tight to the beach, I believe. So, but, you know, the Roy Rose Sr. talks about phenomenal fishing east of the rock pile, you know, in there towards Descanso. It can happen.
Okay.
It's with the binoculars nowadays, when we're sitting at the rock pile or even the ribbon kelp, we're glassing all around. And with the Fujinon Stabiscopes from Baker Marine, with how well they are, if there's fish in there, we'll see them.
Yeah.
Even from the islands. It's crazy.
What is the type of distance that you feel you can see, you know, you can see a bird school, an area that you want to investigate? How far away do you think you can legitimately see that when you're on board the San Diego?
A lot of it depends on, you know, conditions, of course. But bird schools are the absolute best thing for gyros, in my opinion. You know, kelps, breezers, they're good for that. Bird schools are number one, in my opinion. Is without gyros, I wouldn't even try to fish bird schools. We've run for bird schools at 6 miles before on the San Diego. Yeah, because, you know, the birds are high and they're big.
The conditions are right.
Yeah, a booby bird at 6 miles with seagulls, and you don't even see the tern birds until you get close. The first thing you see is like a booby bird, or then you start to see the seagulls, then you see the tern birds, and yeah, the binocular technology is amazing.
Again, think about something that has changed the game in 20 years of fishing when you didn't have that. You know, like you were looking at a piece of the ocean that at best was a mile around the boat, and now you're talking about 6 miles. You know,
I can still remember the first day I brought my gyros. So the first day I got them at the Coronado Islands, we were sitting on the anchor at the Ribbon Kelp, which is on the Lea South Island, and a friend of mine was anchored up at the gun sight, which is in the middle grounds, and as the crow flies, it's probably a mile and a half, or every bit of a mile from the ribbon to the gun sight, and I was in the wheelhouse, and he was anchored up, and before that, if you wanted to know what that guy was catching in the middle grounds, he had to call you on the radio.
Right.
We're sitting at the Ribbon Kelp. My friend is, I forget who it was. It might have been Brian and Sam on the Pacific Queen or something. And they were anchored up at the gun sight. And I could, as I was talking to him, I remember telling him, oh, you just hooked another one. Oh, that guy on the starboard, the guy on the starboard side just hooked one. I knew that they had four going before they did.
Yeah.
They were in the wheelhouse. Yeah. That was the very first day I brought the gyros to the Coronado Islands. And now I feel absolutely like I'm not prepared if I don't have them. You need them.
You go from, if you could see a boat on the horizon, you could pick those up and you could see what t-shirt the guy was wearing.
Absolutely.
And for a small boat, you know, that doesn't have a sonar and things like that, I think it's the single most important tool a guy can have.
You've talked about that a lot.
You cannot not have it. It is a tool that you have to have. If you're going to find your fish, more than likely based on your eyeballs, and you can see a few hundred yards without anything, and you could, you know, with a pair of good, you know, Baker Marine regular field binoculars, 7x50s, if the conditions are perfect, you can see a little ways, or you can pick up your stabilized binoculars and see a couple miles.
Even for us, we catch most of our fish due to our eyeballs. You know, it might be that the actual school that we stop on is located by the sonar, but the reason the boat was even in that area in the first place is because we saw some gliding shearwaters from 4 miles away that were, you know, in the area. So it was our eyes that got us there. It might be the sonar or the fathometer that, you know, gets all the glory at the end, but if you trace it back, it was our eyeballs that even got the boat there.
Yeah.
So it's a game changer.
Yep, no doubt about it. Well, hey, appreciate it very much. A great text. And again, apologies to Mark and Marcos, who I know tried to get through on the hotline. I'm sure it's a little technical issue and probably on my end. But my apologies, guys. Do want to remind you that our FishDope.com report, as always, is sponsored by Gamakatsu Hooks. If you're not using those Gamakatsu Hooks, you are missing bites and leaving bites on the table. Gamakatsu Nautilus Hooks come in sizes as small as a number 4 and all the way up to a 6, though. And for big fish, that Gamakatsu ringed hook is not too oversized to slow your bait down, but has a very strong wire to land the big ones. They're a fantastic opportunity, and you can buy them today at a discount at the summer kickoff sale at Dana Landing. Check Gamakatsu for more information. Wanted to read another great text. Says, hey, I've loved the San Diego, and I've fished on it for decades now. How proud is Ryan to see the former crew all running their own boats and becoming, you know, your colleagues on the water? Is there something inside that makes you more competitive? And how excited are you to run against Taro and Cameron on these upcoming trips? That's from Mike in San Diego.
Oh, nice. Thanks, Mike. It makes me extremely proud to see them driving their own boats. Yeah. I've known those guys since they were little kids, you know, 13, 14 years old, and getting dropped off by their parents to now owning their own boats. It's awesome. It's going to be a learning curve. You know, Taro's deep in it. Cameron's going to see. You know, it's not all gravy. There's some tough times.
There's
but
some grinding.
I couldn't think of two people that were more perfect for the job. They're gonna be fine. Yeah.
And the boats
are in good hands.
And what benefit to, you know, all the passengers, myself included, like, you know, the level of professionalism that, you know, is driving boats these days, and, you know, you guys just, the San Diego just has the program figured out. You guys just do. Your level of customer service and what you guys provide, and knowing that all of the other boats came from that school, it's really, really cool.
Yeah, we're proud of it. Thank you.
Yeah, you should be, and we're excited about it. Let me tell you, I can tell you who the benefit is, and it's me. You know what I mean? The guys that get to go fishing, and I get to take my boys fishing on the San Diego and the Mission Bell and the Taro, you know, with the Liberty, and get to experience all that. It's really cool.
Thank you.
I agree with Mike. A great text, Mike, and appreciate it very much. Another text from David in San Diego. Captain Ryan, what a great show. Thanks for all that you guys do for the industry. Can you talk a little bit about behavior of surface iron fishing? Just like Scott said, I'm looking for a tip to set myself apart from everybody else. Is it birds? Is it lure? Is it fish? What is it that gets us to catch more fish than the guy standing next to us?
I think it's a little bit of all those things. You know, we've all had those magic lures that just seem to get bit really well. Even if they're not biting anything else, you can grab that one magic lure out of your box and get a bite. It's practice, making sure you're efficient. If you go to the rail and you make 10 casts, and the guy that always seems to catch more than you, if you watch him in those 10 casts, all 10 of them were good enough to get a bite.
Right.
And then there might be other people where they make 10 casts and only 5 of them were good enough to get a bite. That's the biggest difference that I see. It's not so much the guy's using different tackle than you if he's getting more bites. It's just he's more efficient and just comes from practice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You had talked about in the beginning of the show, we talked about a lot of times about live bait fishing and how important it is. What about some of the things that sets that apart? You had mentioned that, you know, the best gift your dad gave you was taught you how to, you know, pick out a good bait and fish it. It's something that I'm sure gets talked about a bunch, but what you know, and it's probably not the easiest thing to describe over the air as it would be at the handwell, but what is a good bait, and like what's the process of being a better live bait fisherman?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a fair amount of people listening that believe that, oh, live bait, there's no skill to live bait fishing. You just grab a live fish and you put it in the water and a bigger fish is going to come eat it. That's absolutely not the case.
Totally.
You watch guys like Bob Williams, Ray Montero, rest in peace. These guys are absolutely amazing fishing a live bait. Bob especially, like that's who I got to watch a lot as a youngster. They are so good at it. Everything from, you know, how it starts with catching a bait out of the handwell. There's no fumbling. There's no damaging the bait at all. It's selecting the right one. Bob could do it without even looking in the handrail. Just the way they felt, he would pick a good bait. And just getting it from the bait tank to the water.
And it wasn't chasing it around the handrail to pin it into a corner. Like, those guys see the one they want, and it's in their hands.
And it's in their hands, yeah. It's just being efficient at everything you do. It's just increasing your chances to get lucky. You know, a lot of people feel so much luck. You know, you throw a fish in the water, and then a bigger one comes and eats it. There's some of that, but not nearly as much as people think.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you want to increase your chances by doing everything right.
We were talking about it a couple weeks ago on the show, too. I always thought when I was young that, like, well, the farthest you can possibly get the bait away from the boat, the better you are, and that was the deal. And so, you know, overhand casting as hard as you could and hoping that the hook didn't rip out, and then learning later on, like, man, your bait entering the water nice and not slapping down and, you know, you damaging that thing by the big cast, like an easy cast, it was low to the water, the bait just slips in the water and takes off, is 10 times better than an extra 5 feet that you could have got by hucking the thing as hard as you could.
Yeah, if you have fished on the San Diego offshore with us in the last 5 or 6 or 10 years, you've definitely seen guys like Fisher or Matt taking people's rental rods, pinning a bait on for them, casting them out, and within 2 seconds, that person is pulling on a tuna.
Right.
And they do it day after day after day. And it's not, you know, they're using the same rod that the person was using themselves for the previous 10 baits and not getting a bite. But then a crew member picked up that rod, selected a beautiful bait, cast them out, and now they're fighting a tuna. So it's a lot of little tricks add up to one big advantage.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, well, that's great, and a really good tip. And like you said, it's the most common way to catch one, but there's a lot of nuance to it.
A lot of nuance,
and
yeah.
Where you put the hook in them, and using the right hook, and it's, you know, if you hook one in the shoulder, but you go a little too deep, it doesn't work, and if you go a little too shallow, it comes out, but if you pin it somewhere else, maybe the bait doesn't swim as good. There's all of those things that
knowing when to grab a bait and throw it out on the bow, you know, as opposed to the stern. That's a big thing with bluefin fishing. You know, you'll see the deckhands running up to the bow the whole stop with rental rods and casting them out, and they're just doing laps around the boat. But, you know, based on how the boat's drifting, where the fish are located, there's a lot of little tricks that add up to a big advantage.
And I'll tell you the other thing. If the best place to learn that is to go fishing on board the San Diego and talk to Matt and talk to Fisher and talk to all the guys that you – those are the guys that are – I mean, you want to talk about the experts or the people that see 1,000 baits cast a day every single day of their life all year long. Like, it is the – there is no better spot. You can do all the research and, you know, you'll get those tips here and Ryan on Let's Talk Hookup, and hopefully you'll come into the tackle stores, but really – there is no better place to learn this than the crews on the boats that are seeing it every day.
For sure.
And don't be afraid of saying that, too. When you step on board the boat and you're seeing everybody, you guys on the San Diego have the advantage that you have a very personal crew that's really good in drawing. Because I've seen it myself a bunch, and they're very good at drawing things out of people. But not everybody is that way. And I think the reason I say it is when you step on board, shake the guy's hand, you know, hey, you know, my name's Steve, oh, my name's Matt, nice to meet you, like, hey, this is my, you know, I'm really wanting to step up my fly line fishing game. If you see me doing something dumb, let me know, or what, you know, don't be afraid of telling me anything, I won't take offense, I'd love to learn. You do something like that, dude, you're getting the advanced course.
Yeah, the caller that called earlier and asked me my favorite part, that's something that I really enjoy also, is watching a passenger go from a person, a guy or a gal that was renting a fishing rod when they first started, and now 3, 4, 5 years later, they are absolute masters at it.
I'll
you
bet.
Know, if the boat has 15 yellowtails, they've caught 4 of them, you know, and I've seen it with a bunch of people.
And
a lot of times it's women that learn faster than men. It's crazy. We have some women that fish with us that when they first started coming out, not very long ago, they had a rental rod. Everything was new to them, but they were sponges, and they listened to the crew. And my crew loves doing that. They would almost rather see a rent rod beginner person catch one over, you know, Joe Pro that's caught 1,000 of them. It means a lot more. So that's very very fun to watch. Also, the passengers go from beginner to expert
cool.
in a few years.
I dig it. Well, hey, we had another great text, and it was from Bill in Mission Viejo. Says, hey, I just wanted to say it was 12 years ago that I took my son out fishing on the San Diego, and my son hooked a good-sized ling cod. Then after that, a gentleman hooked a yellowtail and passed it off to my son, and he was able to land his first fish at age 9. Those are my favorite memories of our lifetime of fishing together, and he's absolutely hooked. And I just want to say thanks for everything fishing on the San Diego.
Wow, that's cool. You never know what it's going to mean to a person.
That's it. Yeah, that's the coolest part. Well, hey, let's jump back into the text. Had another one. Hey, guys, great show. Captain Ryan, thanks for sharing all your knowledge with us as anglers. I'm hoping you could share a little bit on the type of outfits that you like to see guys fishing at the Coronado Islands this time of year. It's from Mike in San Juan Capistrano.
Thank you, Mike. For the Coronado Islands this time of year, it's relatively simple. I would recommend a 25-pound fly line rod, 25 or 30-pound fly line bait rod, 7-foot rod, you know, Trinidad, you know, whatever, Ricky would know the size reels better than I. Whatever.
25-pound, for me, it's a toss-up. That's the only one that's a toss-up between a Trinidad 14 or Trinidad 16.
Okay.
14's a little smaller, maybe fits in your hands a little nicer. If you're somebody that's got a smaller stature or a little younger, I would go Trinidad 14 just because it's real compact.
Okay.
16 is still a nice small reel, but it's a little taller. You got a little bigger gears. You got a little more drag. But yeah, that's my buffer between
them. So, yeah, 25-pound fly line bait rod. And then second rod, you're going to want something that could fish like 40-pound comfortably. The Trinidad 20 or Torium 20. And on that one, you know, talk to the crew on the way out. Either going to put a yo-yo lure on it if there's yellowtail down near the bottom or a dropper loop on it. Those two setups right there, you'd be covered this time of year. As we get further into summer and the water warms up, we may start to target calico bass. You might want to bring a bass rod as well, something you can fish a little bit lighter line, a little smaller reel for calico bass, but that hasn't started yet. So this time of year, a 25-pound rod, a 40-pound rod, and you'd be good.
That's awesome.
You can also rent everything from Seaforth. They have all that.
And a big, you know, kudo to the rental department at Seaforth. It's not, again, this is not something like rental gear was 15 or 20 years ago. It wasn't a pen squitter that had a teeny bit of life left into it and a handle that went backwards. I mean, the gear that they have is premium tackle that's well cared for by guys who, you know, that is their job is just to make, you know, the Seaforth rental tackle is top notch.
And it's a tough job, especially lately. You know, they're having to be prepared for 150-pound bluefin, bass, calico bass on the half-day boat, everything in between. It's a tough job, and they're very good at it.
Well, and how about that you have to be prepared for that when you go on the San Diego?
Yeah.
I mean, not only is that their job covering all the boats at Seaforth, but depending on what you guys are doing, the San Diego might be fishing calico bass or 150-pound bluefin.
It's crazy, right? I know. We had a stretch. It seems like we've had a little stretch each of the last 8 years where we're targeting cows. We're targeting big ones on the San Diego, which would have been unheard of 30 years ago, but it's real. It's happening. It'll probably happen again this year where we'll have a stretch where really the only thing to catch is huge.
Yeah.
So when that happens, Seaforth Tackle Shop and Seaforth Rental Equipment's ready for the job.
It's as much out of the fun as it is out of, well, that's what, you know, I'm sure if you had the opportunity of both, catching 40-pounders is a whole lot easier. Everybody's excited. They bite better. You know, when you hook one, your odds of landing it is so much greater. Yeah. Probably everybody's going to get a shot. You know, when it's only cows, like
that's crazy.
That's you know, you're not often going to have, you know, one for every person every time, but it's
right.
Sure is exciting to see, you know, on a trip that left in the morning and came home in the afternoon to see fish of that
quality. A lot of times on trips like that, you know how big fish fishing is. It's not
trophy hunting.
It's trophy hunting. It's not like these bonita that are biting on the half day boat right now. It's got to work really hard to get a bite. A lot of downtime.
When you do, the odds are always stacked against you.
Totally. Yes. And so on trips like that, we've had a lot of passengers tell me at the end of the trip, they just enjoyed sitting on the upper deck
100%.
Watching. You know, one person's pulling on a 200-pounder.
Yeah.
At the end of it, they hand it to the deckhand, and the deckhand gets to watch a professional fisherman pull on a fish. They love it. Even though they didn't fish much, they didn't even catch a fish. They had a great trip. I've had a lot of passengers tell me that with that big fish fishing.
Yeah. You
that being said, we don't want to do it every day.
Yeah.
But if it happens and that's the only thing to catch, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. When those scenarios present themselves and when you are fishing bigger tuna, I know it's not fair to say because every scenario is different, but what's the best method a guy can go in to get a bite from one of those? We've seen a lot of cool videos of guys with jigging tackle and jigs, and your crew in particular seems to be on the cutting edge of knowing all that stuff. I mean, that's the way that we fish sinker rigs was developed on board the San Diego. And
I really like that sinker rig, you know, just either the drop shot brawler style or the rubber band. It kind of, for me, for choosing the two, whether you do the drop shot brawler rig or the rubber band is kind of really based on how big the fish are. If okay. if it's giant ones that are down there, you know, 50, 60, 70 fathoms, and you want to fish a big sinker, or I want our people to fish big sinkers, I would absolutely go with that brawler rig.
Okay.
Because, it, you know, the sinker size does not affect your bait like the rubber band rig seems to. If you put a 12-ounce, 16-ounce sinker on a rubber band above your weight, it affects the way the sardine fishes. It really doesn't on that brawler rig. You could put a heavy, heavy sinker on that brawler rig, and it fishes the same.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So that's how I would determine. I really like that sinker rig for when we're doing bluefin fishing.
Okay.
Because it's easier for the people. You know, totally. It's and we don't just drop it down and put the reeling gear and hold on like you're fishing off a pier. We're actually like fishing it, dropping it down slow, winding it up slow. Most of the bites are coming like that.
Okay.
So that's how we like to do it. And you can fish a little bit heavier line. I can't tell you how many rental rod customers we've had come out and catch 4 or 5 bluefin in a day just fishing the sinker rig all day long. That could be 20-pound bluefin or it could be 100-pound bluefin.
And is that when it's all quote-unquote sinker rig fishing, or when another guy would be fishing a fly line, they still have a sinker because it helps get the line away from the boat? And
it's easier on them. You know, they're from out of families from out of town. They don't fish very often. We'll rig them up with sinker rigs even when we're fishing kelp patties sometimes for yellowtail. You know, lighter sinker, obviously, but it works.
Keep you straight. You're not in tangles as much.
Yeah, you're like we talked about earlier, you're just efficient at that point. You're not tangled. You're not chasing your bait around the deck. You're fishing the whole time.
That's great.
So it works very well.
On the sinker, you said you're usually fishing it. Do more bites come when you're dropping the sinker down, or do more of them come when they're winding it up, or does that not make it a lot of difference?
I would say it's equal. Okay. You know, half the bites on the way down, half the bites on the way up. It works very well, especially the rubber band. Okay. The rubber band sinker above the hook, slow winding on the way up, so your bait's kind of swimming behind your sinker, works really good.
And is how you pin the bait on, does that make a big difference? And what's your favorite way to do that? Sorry to keep busting 21 questions at you, but
that's what this show's for, right? Yeah. For the rubber band rig, we will hook it from bottom to top so we can do the slow wind on the way up thing, and the mouth of the sardine doesn't open up and affect the way it swims. The brawler rig, I think we've hooked it both ways, sideways through the tip or bottom, you know, lower jaw through upper jaw. But for that rubber band rig, you definitely want to go bottom to top. Keep the mouth closed.
Okay.
That way, when you're winding it up slow, the bait's still wiggling behind the sinker. It works really good.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's good info. Hey, appreciate it very much. We had another great text. Good morning, Ryan. I'm absolutely loving the show. My question is, when you're fishing at the Coronado Islands, can you talk a little bit about the fish care for your fish? I know that you gill and gut tuna. Do you guys do it for yellowtail? Is it necessary? I was worried or thinking that might attract more sea lions. Just curious your take. And then also, is fish filleting available on board the San Diego?
Yes, fish filleting is available. We fillet a lot of our fish once we cross the border on the way home. What was the first question again, Rick?
Just the going over fish processing and whether you gill and gut yellowtail the same as tuna.
Okay, yeah.
Whether that could potentially have negative effects with sea lions.
Oh, okay. We do not gill and gut the yellowtail. We bleed every single fish that comes over the rail, whether it's a 1-pound rockfish or 250-pound bluefin tuna. Everything's getting bled. The tuna that are over 40 pounds, we're going to gill and gut them. The yellowtail, we just, you know, bleed them and put them in the fish hold. And I don't think any of that really affects the amount of sea lions. The sea lions are so dialed into our program that they're going to be there regardless of what we do. But that being said, they haven't been that bad.
Good.
You know, one of the biggest advantages I think those tuna pens being at the Coronado Islands has given us, they are so busy with those tuna pens. The sea lions right now are not as bad as they were 10 years ago.
That's good to hear.
They're not. Don't get me wrong, there's periods where there's not much bait around. That's when the sea lions seem to be the worst for us, is when the water's super clean.
Okay.
They're having a hard time catching bait. They get on the sport boats really hard. But by and large, over the last 10, 12, 15 years, the sea lions have been way less of an issue than they were when I first started.
Huh.
When I first started driving the Mission Bell, if we would hook a yellowtail trolling a Rapala, sometimes the sea lions would grab them.
Jeez.
We couldn't even land a troll fish,
right.
On the beach.
Heaviest of tackle.
They were incredibly bad. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, okay.
They're not as bad today as they were 15, 20 years ago. And I think those tuna pens being there is a big reason. They're busy with those things.
Huh.
If you glass the tuna pens, they're sitting around the edge. You know, they're picking up the scraps from when they feed the fish. So they've found someone else to harass.
I love it. I hate them, but as long as they're messing with somebody else, better for them.
The best case scenario with sea lions is when we're hooking, 5 to 15 yellowtail at once, and then a sea lion's grabbing one or two, and we're landing the rest.
Yeah.
Where they really kill us is when we're picking at them. If we're hooking one at a time, mm-hmm. two at a time, they can get them all. They'll eat them all. But like I always tell the passengers, we just need to find better fishing.
Yeah.
If we find better fishing, we're going to be fine. They're going to get their share, and we're going to get our share. So that's always the goal.
That's it. Well, you guys always have the best attitude about it. Well, hey, appreciate the text very much. We got a whole lot more coming your way. You stay tuned. More with Captain Ryan of the San Diego when we return with Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, and YouTube Live.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Hey anglers, AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you or learn more at AFCO.com.
All right, well, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. Well, Ryan, we heard you in the beginning of the show talking about your favorite surface iron reel, and I couldn't agree with you more. I don't think you couldn't put pen to paper and draw a better reel for fishing a surface iron than a Trinidad 20.
Just the top of the class.
It doesn't exist.
For sure, yeah.
Amazing free spool, but still good power and great torque, and it's a strong reel, and it free spools amazing. It's just, it's the one, top of the class.
I can't think of anything on it that I would change.
Yeah, it's the right size. It fits
perfect.
In your hand.
Perfect.
And if you're in the market for a new Shimano reel, man, today is the day. The Dana Landing Summer Kickoff Sale. You're going to find 10% off all of the reels and an opportunity at Free Spectra. It is the time to do it for sure. Nothing better than the Shimano gear. Check it out at your local Shimano dealer or check Shimano.com. One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Oh! Hook Up!
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up. Having a great time here this morning. It's been a very busy morning on the phones, on the text, and boy, we're having a great time and having a lot of fun with you this morning. If you want to get through, the only way here in the second hour is through the Let's Talk Hook Up app. You can send us a text through the app. It's available for you. Make sure that you include your contact info when you do, so that we can give you that great prize. And speaking of the great prize, we've been talking all morning about the San Diego and what a great operation out of C4 Sport Fishing. Well, one lucky caller is going to get to, or caller or texter is going to get an opportunity to go on the San Diego at the end of the show today, and we're really proud to get to do that. So, hey, again, great opportunity for you, and lots of great text standing by, and we're going to jump right back into the text messages. One for Captain Ryan says, good morning, Ryan. Question for Ryan. What do you feel is the best time of year if we're wanting to go offshore fishing on the San Diego? I realize that you guys do Coronado Islands as well as offshore. We're booking a trip and no longer live in San Diego and want to book in advance for our best shot at a bluefin tuna on a full-day trip.
Okay. If they strictly want a bluefin tuna, I would say, you know, mid-May through the 1st of July for bluefin for us over the last 10 years has been the best time. If they want the best shot at a successful offshore trip, in my opinion, it'll most likely be yellowfin by this time. I would say mid-September.
Okay.
September has always been kind of my favorite month. You know,
no question.
We call it the local summer. You know, by that time, we've had enough of people from Arizona in our town, and we're ready to get back to locals mainly on the boat, and we start getting Santa Anas, the weather's nice. September has always been my favorite month to go offshore. You know, their question was strictly bluefin. I don't know if they meant to text that or not.
Yeah, maybe it was just tuna.
Maybe it was just tuna. If you're just looking for the best time of year to go on an offshore trip on the San Diego, I would say September.
Last year, we saw, for the long-range fleet, maybe the best yellowfin tuna bite. I don't think that I can remember in 28 years of being at the tackle store. I don't know that I ever remember seeing yellowfin tuna that was so consistent and such an unbelievable grade for this close to home. You know, 40 to 100 pounders. And I was just, man, I was praying every night that fit, because it walked its way closer and closer and closer, and it never quite got to our,
right,
you know, within 40 miles of home. And this year, you know, knock on wood or knock on something, those guys are already seeing great yellowfin tuna down there again. I want so bad that fish to be in range on the San Diego. I just... It was so good if you could get to that 100-plus mile zone.
Yeah.
I want that fish on the San Diego so bad.
So do I.
Gosh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Mainly, I mean, I want it for a lot of reasons, but one of them is I ate a few pieces
yes.
of it. That tuna was amazing. It looked different than any tuna I'd ever eaten in the past. It was so white and fatty. It was amazing. So I want some more of that to eat, but also to watch our people catch them,
you know,
and there's a 60-pound bluefin is way different than a 60-pound yellowfin, as we well know, so I'd like to see our people tie into some of those. That'd be exciting.
That was fun. The complaint on some of the guys when they were running an 8-day trip was like, well, the fishing is far too good,
you know,
like, we're going to go down there and potentially have limits for the trip in the first afternoon, and then we've got to figure out how to,
cry me a river.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, well, let's jump back into the text. It says, good morning, guys. My question is for Captain Ryan. I love fishing on the San Diego and do at least 3 trips a year with you guys. My question for Captain Ryan is, what is your favorite fish to fish for when you're not on board your boat?
When I'm not on board the boat? Largemouth bass.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I love fishing for everything, but there's something about being on a lake. The weather's always nice.
Yeah.
It's never blowing 30 and choppy and getting your, you know.
Because it is, you don't go.
Yeah, you don't go. Yeah. We've done some Mexico fishing trips over the last 15 years, and I'd have to say largemouth bass.
Cool.
Yeah, super fun. I love it.
I've
done it with Corey a bunch.
There's something very different about it, too.
You
see that mindset, and you know that that's a frustrating fish, too. Like,
oh,
when
man.
It's good, it gets no better, and when it's tough, it's just because you know it's there.
They make you work for it. Yeah, yeah, it's cool. It's a fun puzzle to try to put together.
And I'm with you, too. The Mexico bass fishing thing is one of my most favorite in the world. And it's not a guaranteed wide-open thing.
No.
Either. You've got to figure it out and do your thing. But the camaraderie and the food and the people, and those are really, really special trips.
Oh, man, some of the best times have been down at those Mexican lakes.
Brandon and I are going to, in a couple weeks, we're going to go fish with Bill DePriest from Pacific Coast Sport Fishing and fish Lake Coeur d'Alene to go smallmouth fishing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're really excited. This year, we didn't do the Mexico thing, and so looking for something different, we're going to go try smallmouth fishing at Lake Coeur d'Alene, and I'm super pumped.
Yeah, that's not, you'll have to report back and let me know how that goes. Do you know what kind of lures they catch them on?
This time of year, it's mostly jerkbait. And okay. Shallow crank fishing.
Oh, right up your alley.
I can't wait. Yeah. It's my favorite thing to get to do. And, like, I'm like a kid in a candy store. Like, Bill has a guide service up there, and they keep sending us pictures of, you know, it is very common to have a day full of 4 and 5 pound smallmouth. And, like, every trip, the guys' big fishes are 6s and 7s.
Wow.
Dude, I can't wait.
Wow.
Like,
and you're bringing the Iron Bomber with you?
The world's greatest fisherman, yeah. The Iron Bomber, Brandon and I are going. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
No, it'll be fun regardless if you catch anything or not with him. He's a good time.
100%. Well, hey, let's jump right back into the text. Another fun one, and this one was from Alex from San Carlos. Says, good morning, guys. I jumped on the San Diego for a Coronel Island trip. Conditions were rough, but there was definitely really good signs of yellowtail. A deckhand managed to hook one and pass it off to a passenger on a surface iron, but they sank out as the majority of the school swam by us. I stuck to fishing a yo-yo jig, but didn't have any luck. My question is for Captain Ryan. When we can see the fish, but it's hard to get a bite, what, in your opinion, are the best things to do to improve our chances?
Oh, man, that's exactly what's been happening lately.
That was like a clip of a local trip right now?
Yeah. One thing to keep in mind is a lot of times when you see fish up on the surface, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more down below them, especially lately. You know, there's a little bit of fish up top that you can see, but the bulk of the school is down deep. So really hard for me to say, you know, in that situation he just described, he didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. He did everything right. It's just they're not biting. They're not biting fish, and stick with what you're comfortable with, whether it be fly line, yo-yo. If you're an efficient service iron guy, stick with the service iron. But he didn't do anything wrong. It's just they're not biting fish. That's happened a lot over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, stick with it.
And it sounds like, you know, like you said, that was a good call. You can... It's hard to not fall for the trap of seeing a couple of birds flare and seeing a fish flash on the surface. Like, that's all you have to go off of. You know, we're not looking at the screen that Ryan is and seeing how big that school actually is that's swimming under the boat. You know,
right.
All you see with your eyeballs is those two birds flying, but there might be a whole lot more down towards the bottom.
Most of the time there is. Yeah, most of the time there is. And you know, we did a little shakedown trip to La Jolla at probably a month ago now, just to make sure everything on the boat was working properly. And a spot of yellowtail popped up in front of us, and Matt hooked one. He had a yo-yo jig tied on, but they were up on the surface, so he just wound it on the surface and got a bite. So a yo-yo jig can be fished on the surface. It's not the best. I wouldn't recommend doing it all day long, but it can happen.
That's one of the things I like so much about the lures that Matt and Brandon and Bodan are making is they have several yo-yo jigs that are surface iron lures that are then made of a different material. So they have sharp hips and sharp edges and, like, all the attributes that make a lure swim well that are not always found in a yo-yo jig. And, you know, a CNC-manufactured high-end yo-yo jig, but in that scenario that you're talking about, you cast that thing or wind it in from a 45-degree angle, it still kicks back and forth like a surface iron would. But heavy enough to fish a yo-yo.
Totally. It, you know, if a fish is in the right mode, it doesn't take much to get a bite.
Sure.
You don't have to have the sexiest lure in the world to get a bite if it's placed perfectly and the fish is in the right mode.
A hungry fish trumps most things.
Totally.
It makes up for a bad cast and a bad jig and a bad hook set and all those things. Like
yeah.
A hungry one's a whole lot more important than everything.
Absolutely.
That's fun. Another question was from Jason from San Diego. It says, Captain Ryan Bostian is known amongst the fleet of being so good with your electronics. My question is, can you tell on the machines if a school of yellowtail is likely to bite or likely to not? And if so, what are those characteristics?
You know, actually we can. It's
really?
Yeah, it's not 100%. It's not foolproof, but actually the last trip I drove, which was Tuesday, first school of yellowtail we saw, the sonar got two or three sweeps on it, and I told my crew member that was standing next to me, I said, I can already tell these things are not going to bite. And I was right. They didn't bite. It's a lot of it is, you know, the formation they're in. Fisher are, you know, I kind of picture like a pack of wolves down there. You know, when they're hunting prey and they're hungry, they're going to be kind of spread out and, you know, trying to, you know, corner bait, or you know, they're more spread out on the electronics when they're in a biting mode is what we see across the board from yellowtail, yellowfin tuna, bluefin tuna. You hear these bluefin guys talk about schools that are bricked up. That means that they're super tight, they're in a tight formation. The chances of them being in bite mode are slim.
Okay.
You know, it does happen from time to time, but when we see a sonar school in the San Diego of yellowtail, that there's separation between the fish, it's like, oh, yeah, here we go.
You're looking.
Put your tool belt on.
They're
going to bite. Some of the best stops we've had have been on what wouldn't look like much to the average person on the electronics.
Okay.
It's just a couple spread out fish, but it's spread out for miles,
really?
You know, offshore tuna or something. And they're just in the right mode. And then when it's not bite time, they ball back up into a tight group again, and you can't get a bite.
Huh.
Yeah, it's strange.
I've also really liked some of the pictures that you've posted on social media over the years of, you know, pictures from the sonar or from your up and down, and seeing, like, the electronics on the San Diego, obviously highly tuned in and just right, but seeing the entire school shoot down to the bottom, or shoot up from the bottom, or getting to see that on the machines is such a unique perspective.
Yeah, usually the more impressive the picture is, you know, for Instagram, the less we caught off of it. Yeah,
I believe it.
When they're biting fish, it doesn't look very impressive on the fathometer. You know, there's a fish here, a fish there. They're separate. They're hunting.
Huh.
You know, they're flying all around fast. When it's a tight group of fish and the captain has time to get the camera out and, you know, Instagram up, it's it usually means they're not biting.
I got that fine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, how about another text from Jason? It says, good morning, guys. Captain Ryan, my question, can you go into a little bit more about the friendly competition and rivalries that you as captains have on the water? It seems like you all work very well together. But I'm sure there's got to be bragging rights and other info. Would love to hear more about the friendly rivalries that exist with you and your colleagues.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, there's nowadays it kind of seems like, you know, information gets out so fast that everyone gets the information. But it wasn't always like that. When I first started driving boats, there's just little groups of people that would talk to each other, and, you know, you may talk to two or three boats, and that guy talks to two or three boats, but you could sometimes miss out on a couple weeks' worth of fishing because you didn't have the information. Nowadays, with all the passengers having phones in their pockets and, you know, Starlink, you're lucky to get a couple hours of something to yourself nowadays. The friendly competition amongst the sport boats basically starts out, whoever catches the most fish typically carries the most passengers, also makes the most money. So that's the root of it.
Yeah, that's the root.
Yeah, that's now we've kind of taken the approach, you know, since I've been driving a boat, where let's group up with two or three or four or five of our really good friends, people that we really trust, and let's all make money.
Yeah.
You know, let's all do well. So that's kind of been our approach to it. Competition like anything else, you know. I don't care how much that guy catches over there as long as I catch the most. I heard people say that before, you know. It's like, you just want to catch the most.
Brian and Sam were on here, which I think back in the Pacific Queen days, and that was always my favorite. And, you know, and Brian just said that. He goes, I want nothing but success for our entire fleet. I want every passenger to catch fish, and I want every boat to catch fish as long as I catch at least one more. You know,
yeah.
Everybody had 99, I want 100.
Right.
Know, nothing but success and the best for all of the boat, all the fleet, all the passengers, all my buds. But you're damn right, I want one more.
Yeah. I mean, it's competitive out there. It just is. If there's a boat that, you know, just doesn't seem to catch as much for a couple years, you'll see it. It'll affect their passenger count.
Sure.
It just does, which affects their income. So that's where the competition comes from.
It's definitely going to be fun this year. Again, we've touched on it multiple times, but, you know, all the guys that worked with you in the past or all the guys that are going to be fishing with you this year.
They know all my tricks. No, they're phenomenal,
yeah.
Phenomenal fishermen.
It's going to be a fun year for sure. Hey, another great one says, good morning, guys. Captain Ryan, I know you're a fan of JRI jigs. I wanted to know if you could only pick one of their models for the Coronado Islands, which would it be and why? Also want to know if you found a new chiropractor yet. That's from Reggie in Camarillo.
Reggie, that's funny. I've fished all kinds of different brands over the years. I kind of just know a good jig when I see it in the water or even feel it. You know those jigs you can feel in your rod tip. They're so good. I don't really know what models are popular of the JRI. Lately, everyone's been fishing these two-fish jigs. So
that is overwhelmingly what we've been selling a lot of, are the two-fish jigs. JRI, also another great option, the Stinger. I would say in terms of what we sell, what is most popular for us at the landing would be probably the JRI 4, which would be the most common size. You know, that'd be a size that you would think about closest to a Tatty 45 or, you know, that common size. Then the number 3, which is a cool jig that's not, it's kind of very searchy and very wily, doesn't have the very traditional kick two times, then kick out. It's very, you know, wily back and forth. And then the Stinger. Those would probably be our three most popular JRIs at the tackle store.
I was fishing a lot of that Stinger jig, you know, 5-6 years ago. It was mainly because the grade of yellowtail that was around at the Coronado Islands was a little bit smaller. There was a lot of 11, 12 pounders, and that Stinger's, you know, a smaller, it's not super small, but it's a little bit smaller than a Tatty 45 that just seemed to fit that grade of fish really well. But now, with this grade of fish that's around now, I mean, they're beauties.
Yeah,
they're big ones. They're 18 to 25 pounds all day long. I wouldn't fish a Stinger. Now I would use something bigger.
We strung up a 37-pound yellow for a private boat a couple days ago at the Coronado Islands in 60 feet of water.
Yep.
It's just awesome.
That's them.
You mentioned it before, you know, Captain Matt Brawley doing such a good job. Those two fish jigs, it is the most popular surface iron. Again, now in a lot of years to get to see it, it's been unbelievable. What a good job those guys are doing. And it just comes from a guy that has worked his whole life on a boat and seeing they swim good. They all do, you know, and they command a price that's no different from everybody else. But, you know, if you pick one of those things up, you're going to cast it out and it's going to swim well. And, man, it is overwhelmingly been the, you know, whatever you call it, the hot jig, at least at Fisherman's Landing Tackle. We're really proud of those guys.
Yeah, good.
They're doing a really good job.
And
they work good. You know, I mean, that's it.
Ultimately, that's what they have to do, right? They just need to work. One of the coolest things of our job is that we get to watch 35 people fish each day, try out their, you know, what they've been thinking about in the garage all week, what they think's going to work. We get to see, oh, wow, that wasn't such a hot idea. Or that look, see what that guy's doing over there? He actually got 5 or 6 bites doing it and helps us put the puzzle together. So Matt has got to watch all kinds of different theories and techniques, and he's seen what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me at all.
That's cool. Another quick text in there says, good morning, guys. What a great show. Captain Ryan, when you're fishing at the Coronado Islands, those are my favorite trips that you guys do. Don't get me wrong. I love offshore bluefin fishing with you, but the Coronado Islands are my favorite. Do you guys ever get an opportunity to target white sea bass? And if so, what are the conditions that they bite the best? That's from Bryce in Point Loma.
Hey, Bryce. Thank you. We've had a few periods where we have targeted white sea bass on the San Diego, usually short periods, a week or two. They're there. They're certainly there. If I think the thing that keeps us from having big sea bass hits, you know, compared to like the other boats up and down the coast, the thing that keeps us from doing it is just the simple fact that there's so much yellowtail around down here. It's hard to drive past a huge sonar school of yellowtail in 21 fathoms to get in, you know, 10 fathoms or shallower and look around for sea bass when you know what's hanging off the edge out there. So just, and under the right conditions, you're going to stop the boat and hook 20, 25 of them,
sure,
you know, which sea bass fishing, we all know, is a challenge. So I think that's why we don't have more sea bass. Part of the reason we don't have more sea bass hits down here is just the availability of the good yellowtail fishing that we do have.
That's interesting.
So it keeps us away from, you know, the 8, 7, 10 fathom areas,
yeah,
where we could possibly get a sea bass hit.
If you took yellowtail 100% out of the equation and that fish just didn't exist, do you think that the Coronado Islands and surrounding coastline holds enough sea bass that you would have, you know, whatever you call it, similar hits to boats above us? Like, is,
I don't think so.
Okay.
It
doesn't mean that the fish isn't there, but maybe not in the volume.
Yeah. We're talking to Wingnut on the Aloha. They just have more biomass up there. Yeah, they just do. We have our periods where I've seen sonar schools of them and you know, nice schools of them. There's been little shots, but by and large, I would have to say I don't think so.
Yeah.
We would definitely catch more, but not as many. As those guys are so good at it.
And the way that they fish them now has changed so much, especially what Sean's doing up there.
Oh, my gosh.
Fishing them on bass rods and flukes and sight fishing and rod in the hand, and it's just...
He's got it dialed because, you know, he had to. He had to figure it out. That's what's available, so you're going to figure out how to do it.
That's so cool.
It's like Gavin and these guys, these bluefin guys, Aliar at night, they figured it out because they had to.
Yeah.
They weren't catching them during the day.
Yeah.
Try it at night, and holy smokes, it works.
Change the fishery, and you're watching the success. Is just, it's undeniable.
It's
really cool.
Undeniable, yeah.
What a great... And also, you know, again, you know, talking about a guy like Sean, like, taking the background that he had in all the other fisheries, and not just in the fish catching, but just like you, the level of service that's then provided, and then the way they take care of the fish, and
it's
really
top
cool to watch, man.
I talked to him last week. He was trying to get me to come up and fish with them because he was seeing such good sign. I just couldn't get away. But man, it sounds fun.
Yeah,
fishing the plastics and sonar schools, and that's so different than the way they used to fish them.
Yeah.
Really cool.
That's pretty exciting.
I'm stoked for those guys.
Well, hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing on board the San Diego. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including finding out who's the big winner. More Let's Talk Hookup on Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, and YouTube Live.
Enter into spring with powerful deals on new Yamaha outboards during Yamaha's Ride the Wave sales event. Now through May 21st, 2025, purchase a new eligible Yamaha 450 to 30 horsepower outboard and get up to 7 years of warranty protection. Looking for a lower horsepower? Yamaha's got you covered. Purchase a new Yamaha 25 to 2.5 horsepower outboard and receive up to $500 in dealer credit. That's up to 7 years of warranty protection or up to $500 in dealer credit. Visit your local Yamaha dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. Offer ends May 21st, 2025. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models excluded. 24-month Yamaha extended service added to 36 or 60-month factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24-month Yamaha limited warranty for select motors. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
The CCA California San Diego chapter is hosting their Apps and Taps celebration at Marina Village Saturday, May 17th from 4 to 8 p.m. Join CCA for an evening of great food and drinks, live music, raffle prizes, and a special Beacon Award presentation to honor Let's Talk Hookup host Pete Gray. Tickets can be purchased at www.ccacalifornia.org with a limited number of reserved seating available. We'll see you there.
Hi, this is Captain Ray Lopez, owner-operator of the American Angler. I spent more than half my life aboard the American Angler along with my partners Brian and Lori, developing a team that's as good as it gets. I've been fortunate to spend time on the ocean with so many fine people that I look forward to fishing with. We can't thank you enough for being part of the American Angler family, and if you haven't joined us, we'd love the opportunity to meet you. text or call Lori at 619-223-5414 or check AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com.
Hey guys, this is Ali Husseini from Local Knowledge and BD Outdoors. I'm a lucky guy in so many ways, and one thing I'm really grateful for is my little brother, Yosef. Yosef is not only a fellow angler, but he's also an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find the ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free no-obligation evaluation online now by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. That's SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address, and you'll get a home value report immediately sent to your email. No pressure, no obligations, just answers. Yosef is the SoCal real estate go-to guy. He's helped me and so many of my fellow fishing buddies find what they're looking for in a home. He knows anglers and he understands the real estate market. Not only that, but he's also a really nice guy. How many brothers can you say that about? Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and find out where you stand in the real estate market and then get with Yosef and find your ultimate home. Again, go to SoCalHomeEval.com and we'll see you on the water.
Take a closer look at the Ford F-150. You'll see hard work, a great adventure, and so much more. Inside and out, it's designed for the family, the road trip, and the most demanding job. The 2025 Ford F-150, whether it's gas, hybrid, or all electric, to meet your needs. From California's best-selling truck brand, it's time to see Ford in a new light. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer today to see the great selection across the full truck lineup.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it is time to find out who's going fishing on board the San Diego, whether we have a caller or a texter. And Cat Ryan's going to do us the honor flipping the prize coin.
All right, here
we go. What we got? Today we have a caller. Congratulations, John in El Cajon. You are going fishing on board the San Diego. Congratulations. But can't begin to thank you enough for coming in and hanging out. It was a busy day not having Pete, but we're so stoked to get you away from the boat and just had an awesome time and really, really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work doing this show by yourself. Respect.
It's a little more than we're used to, but a great time. And, you know, we're looking forward to having more of this great shows. And we got another great show coming for you tomorrow with Bob Hoos from Costa Del Mar, so it's going to be a lot of fun. But in the meantime, if somebody wants to take advantage of all of the great fun that we talked about in the San Diego, everything that you guys do for us, the great fishing, the great care of the fish, all the great stuff, how do we find you guys on board the San Diego, and how do we go take advantage of it?
Yeah, you can book online at seaforthlanding.com, or you can go to the boat's website, www.thesandiego.com. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, the boat, the landing has its own social media now. The best thing to do, in my opinion, is just call the guys over at the landing, 619-224-3383. Talk to John and Jeff and Chris and Marcos and all the guys, because we're fishing, something that changes daily. So they'll get you dialed in the right direction on tackle, you know, whether or not half day fishing is a better choice for you that day, full day fishing, day and a half, they can answer all your questions. So call the guys at Seaforth, 619-224-3383. Follow the boat on Facebook and Instagram for daily fish reports.
Something you guys preach all the time, and we just see it happen time and time again, is just book a spot and go fishing and worry less about what was caught yesterday and worry more about what gets caught tomorrow.
Yes.
And how many times do you see that happen? Good fishing, slow fishing, whatever it is, it just doesn't seem to have a lot of bearing on what's going to happen the following day.
Yeah, what happened the day before doesn't really mean anything on how successful your trip's going to be. So, yeah, pick a day where the weather looks good to you, where it fits into your schedule, and just come out and enjoy the day on the water.
You know you're gonna get everything that you hear about that the San Diego has to offer. A very comfortable boat. You're gonna eat a great cheeseburger. You're gonna get treated right by the captain and the crew, and you're gonna have a good time doing it.
We're always gonna give 100%. After that, you know, there's a lot of aspects that are out of our control, but everything we can control, we're gonna give 110%.
I love it. Awesome, Ryan. Great job. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for hanging with us, and we appreciate you. Another great show coming for you tomorrow. Bob Hoos from Coast is going to be joining us. We got more. It's Let's Talk Hook coming to you on Facebook and YouTube Live, 97.3 The Fan, and the Let's Talk Hook Up app. We'll see you tomorrow.